No, it
does. Yeah, it's not fun.
It'll play any of them. Rick Emerson's on your side. You know, it'll play any of the songs but that one. Now, but see, that's not it. And they may be rife with profanity. Well, who's to say? Okay, well, so here's the thing. So Sarah got this email, and then we'll go to the Ministry of Truth here in a second. And then later on, Scotty J will be here.
That's an exciting story about David Arquette.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have David Arquette news. You never thought you'd hear me say that. Sarah got this email today from some, it was a band, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say the name of the band right now because I don't want to overburden this website because it's already not loading the song we want to play. I'll tell you the name of the band here in a few. But this band has a song called Hot for Sarah. And so we were trying to figure out, not that it's about you, but we were trying to figure out whether, the band is in Portland. We were trying to figure out whether they sent you the email about the song, like, hey, maybe that's Sarah Dillon, who we listen to every day, and that kooky Rick Emerson show would like this.
Or, I thought maybe they just were writing all Sarahs.
See, if they don't, dudes, you got to get on that. What a brilliant marketing campaign that would be. You write a song called Hot for Sarah, and then you just text or email, or you message every girl named Sarah on MySpace.
Yeah, just do, like, 97201 for the zip code, and then just type in the name.
It's genius. And, I mean, every girl, if you're not doing that, you ought to be. Write a song with a chick's name in it, and then you just get on MySpace, you find every chick with that name, and you let her know, hey, baby, I wrote this song. I thought you'd enjoy it. And then you reference, like, I'm up here on Hawthorne Street, like, so they know that you're a real guy. So I'm at their MySpace page, and it'll play every song except for that one. Maybe I'm not pushing the button correctly. That's what the engineer would say if he was here right now. Have you turned it on, Rick?
Wiggle the knobs.
Yeah, have you? So I'm trying to play, so I'll let you know. I'm just going to leave it turned up. So if it just randomly begins playing, at least we'll know that it's there. It's this song called Hot for Sarah, which we wanted to play. All right, ladies and gents, ladies and germs, boys, girls, children of all ages, make way, pay heed, gather around that ye might learn. He is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator. He's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
You better watch out tonight, because if it gets cold again, there will be more ice, and that means more danger.
Now, is there ice anywhere now when you say more ice? Is there ice to begin with anywhere?
I would imagine so, yes.
Anywhere that matters?
Well, on the coast, there's really not anybody living there.
That's what I'm saying. There was no ice where anybody actually had to drive today. I mean, I came in pretty
unless early. You work on the coast.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying, it doesn't seem like there was ice anywhere.
There was ice on my street.
Was there?
Yes.
All right.
But I didn't drive. I took public transportation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And you know, and blah, blah, blah. I have nowhere. I don't know where I'm going with this.
So, did you know that Six Flags owned a theme park in Seattle, and they're selling it?
What? I didn't even know there was a theme park in Seattle.
It's called Wild Waves and Enchanted Village.
Oh, I know Enchanted Village. Yeah, I know where that is. That's in Federal Way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right on
I-5. Yeah, I used to see ads for that all the time growing up. My parents never took me there, and I'm bitter about it.
The only times we would ever go would be the one day out of the entire summer that it'd be raining.
We should have gone the time we went to Seattle.
Fantastic. Yeah, when we went on the way to Safeco Field,
yeah.
We should have stopped. No, I used to, because in Kennewick, we would get KSTW Channel 11, and where I watched Star Blazers, and they would always advertise, come to Federal Way in Enchanted Village, and I would ask my, can we go to Enchanted? No. And then we'd just drive on by it. But there's the exit for, no. And then we would be gone, and then we'd stop somewhere like a place that sold wooden nickels.
Well, anyway, that's one of seven parks that Six Flags is selling. Apparently, they're struggling with failing attendance and a huge debt. So these 30 North American parks have been sold for $312 million.
I think the answer is to fire the DJs.
That could be. Or the people who operate the rides. Let people operate the rides by themselves.
Let's see. We have all this huge debt in attendance, and clearly management's doing something. That should be. I'm going to start extending that advice to all businesses. I don't care what your business is. At Boeing, the answer is to fire more DJs. Let's see. This email says, Rick, the last 2 days have been the best shows ever. For our sake, I hope your therapist has committed suicide. Thank you for the show. No, thank you, sir. Thank you for caring about my mental stability. Rick Emerson sure loves you right back. Here's Tim.
So you'll be fine. You don't need any of that mumbo jumbo.
I don't need witchcraftery. Tom Cruise would agree, by the way. Here we got the Hot for Sarah song. Sarah, can you turn this up? Turn it up.
Oh, what's up?
This is Hot for Sarah by the Young Immortals. Oh, and now it won't play again.
Oh, darn.
Oh,
try
damn.
It again. We'll wait. play a jingle or a promo.
Oh, I wonder if we can...
jingle right into that. Is that doable?
Hold on. Wait a second.
Oh, that stack is wobbling.
It's going to fall.
And now.
Right now.
Now.
Rick Cast.
Here we go. Radio.
The Smokehouse Cafe. K-U-L-F-M. Portland.
We're late, aren't we?
Oh, that was flawless.
Oh, my God.
If only this was the right song.
That sounded like
no,
it.
No, it's not.
Oh, no.
That's the Fever. They also have another hit single called Motive. And then there's Hot for Sarah. And Hot for Sarah is the only song on the page that won't play.
Why is that?
I don't, because God hates me. That's the reason for everything. And so forth. Well, okay, I'm just going to leave this turned up, and we'll see if it just begins playing in the background.
Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there's a new rumor spreading around that Justin Timberlake is getting hot and heavy with sexy actress Scarlett Johansson. The pair has been spending too much time together on the set of Justin's latest video, It Goes Around, and have often been hanging around at the premiere of Alpha Dog, in which Timberlake stars.
Now, wasn't that movie finished like 10 years ago? Why has it not come out anywhere?
That's strange, isn't it?
All right, fine.
It was the same about that guy's movie that was on Bravo. Remember that guy that made that movie? It was a horror movie of some sort.
Oh, Coven?
Yeah.
Yeah, the American movie guy. God, what the hell was his name?
I don't remember.
I've already forgotten. American movie. What a fantastic documentary that was. And then Coven, which was itself not all that great. Yeah, so the rumor is that Justin Timberlake is dating Scarlett Johansson instead of Cameron Diaz. And really, you know that rumor's true because why, given the choice between the two, would you ever pick Cameron Diaz? Ever, ever, ever. You know what Cameron Diaz was? She was Mrs. Right Now. She was Mrs. waiting for Scarlett to return my call. I mean, if you knew that Scarlett Johansson would eventually, like, return your calls and date you, but you had, like, 6 months to fill, Cameron Diaz is a woman. You could kill 6 months with her, probably. She's a good holdover girl. Just to sort of keep that side of the bed warm until Scarlett gets back from, Italy filming some movie or whatever. You can pick 100 guys out of 100 guys. It would all go with Scarlett Johansson instead of Cameron Diaz. So the cover of this week's Us Weekly is fantastic because it covers, this is why it's fantastic, because it has a thing about Justin Scarlett and Cameron and blah, 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 blah. And then, I swear to God, and it's like an Onion headline, only it's real. On the front of this week's Us Weekly, the headline is Britney's face, : what's wrong? And then there's just a huge...
That horrible picture where she looks like
the
dopey?
The horrible Augustus Gloop-looking photo of her, where it's all doughy and like she's been made out of sponge cake.
She's been hit by a car left by the side of the road and her eyes are rolled in the back of her head.
She really does look like one of the seven dwarves in that.
She does. Pudgy the dwarf. But the headline on this week's Us Weekly is just Britney's face. What's wrong? Which is great. And that's, I mean, I love this country. I really do. I love this country with everything in me because of things like that. Hey, Scotty, do me a favor. Please not to be going. Just get me a random cart from down below somewhere. And I showed you the down below area where the carts are. So if you could just get me a random cart, which I will then play. And we will introduce this next news segment with a random cart. I don't know what the story is. I don't know what Tim's going to be talking about. I don't know if there's sound. I don't know if it's a watch. I don't know if it's serious news, hard news, soft news, puff news. Doesn't matter. I'm going to introduce it with a random cart that Scotty is now bringing me.
I bet he's not even in the room.
No. This is going to be one of those times where
he's feeding a meter or something.
He's down at Quiznos just mindlessly mouthing some sun chips. All right. Coming in now.
Others. Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you. You brought me three.
All right. Three random carts.
All right. All right.
So the idea is for me to continue.
Hi, this is Terry Clark. Hi, this is Terry Clark. Couple up, Portland.
I don't understand. Oh, I think it's because she made a mistake and they left it
in. I guess
it's
amusing.
And then... is it? We'd have to do a call-out survey to be sure. We'd have to hook test it. I'm going to play you a radio station bit now. On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being that you dislike it and 5 being that you really enjoy it, how would you rate this bit?
Hi, this is Terry Clark. Hi, this is Terry Clark. Couple up, Portland.
What would you say you enjoy the most about this bit? Would you say you enjoyed the...
morning show humor?
Would you... Did you enjoy the mistake made by the artist, the relative brevity of the bit, or the giggling by the morning show host afterward? Please now to be writing it down. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the trial of a high school teacher charged with corrupting minors came to a sudden end when his body was found in the front passenger seat of his car. Keith Snyder was scheduled to be in court at 9 a.m. for day 3 of his trial when he failed to show up. The judge sent Bethlehem police to his home. Police found Snyder's body in the front seat of his white Oldsmobile.
Bam!
Parked inside a garage attached to his home.
Bam!
Police and firefighters wearing air packs used large fans and opened doors and windows to air out his house. It's unclear if the car was running, but more than likely.
Oh, I remember reading about this guy. Does it have... Is this page two?
Yes.
Now page two. Thank you. Page two.
The district attorney called Snyder's passing a tragic death and defended his office's aggressive prosecution of the case. The assistant DA handled the prosecution. Four teens testified against Snyder on Monday and Tuesday, telling jurors the former teacher paid them a base salary for doing chores around the house, which he dubbed Snyderland. The teens could earn tips if they wore wrestling singlets, Speedo, bikini swimsuits, and thongs, or went shirtless. One teenager said Snyder offered him money to pose nude for photographs, but the teen declined.
Taking a trip to Snyderland. That's fantastic.
All right. Well, this is the middle of Pennsylvania. There's no Six Flags park.
There's
there.
No cable. You got to make your own fun. Mm-hmm. It's 503-733-2970. I'm just trying to keep track of where we are today. I can't get this Hot for Sarah song to play, by the way. It's just, it's never going to happen.
Why is that?
I know, I can't get it to play.
Here it comes.
Now it claims that it's playing.
Is it potted up?
Is the button pushed in?
Shut your mouth!
You want me to wiggle the wire?
Pardon me? Whatever do you mean by that?
On top of all smoke.
Now, the timing was all off there. Now, look, it says... Oh, there we go. This is... See, why? What's going on? I'm not touching anything. It's like... This is Hot for Sarah. My hands are not touching the computer. It's just stopping and starting by itself. For the love of sweet God Almighty. Try this again. Okay, I'm hitting play.
We should probably just stop.
It's like Cosmo says. Sometimes it's just not going to happen. You got to relax and let it occur naturally. Because if you focus on it, it's just going to keep diminishing.
Mm. Well, let's go back to more fun in the Billy and the Goat Show.
On top of all smoking.
Here's Tim Riley.
Emailing someone a pornographic picture could be a misdemeanor. And sending it to a child would be a felony under proposed legislation proposed for Nebraska. The internet is a cesspool, said Senator Mike Friend of Omaha, who introduced the bill at the Attorney General's request. Nebraska law prohibits using a telephone to intimidate, threaten, harass, annoy, or offend a person. The bill would add computers and other electronic devices and would in some cases make it illegal to send a visual depiction of sexually explicit conduct.
Now, you say half the audience would be in jail. You want to see the porn that I get on a daily basis just from the guys who are
at work. Who would want to see anyone from Nebraska engaged in such things?
I don't really have an answer to that. Rick, Hot for Sarah. What rhymes with Sarah? That's a good question. How about Hot for Rick? There's lots of words that rhyme with Rick. Rick. Okay, thank you, sir or madam. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. I got nothing here. I noticed a similarity between your CNN James Brown scream. Oh, where is that? That's this. And the awesome thank you bit, which is this. You have the technology, perhaps an overlay or a side-by-side analysis. Scotty,
by whom?
I think you know what needs to happen now. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. What do we have here? Rick, my wife brought home Quiznos for lunch, and on my drink it reads, toasty. But in my... on my drink, it reads, toasty. Oh, this requires... but in my head, you see this coming, all I can think of is screeches,
Oh,
thanks. You haven't even said anything gross yet. You've already ruined my lunch. Would you like a sandwich? No, I would not serve it. Thank you. What else do we have? Rick. No. 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 Oh, here's one. Rick, this is from Todd the Corpse. Speaking of drinking in the South, there are literally drive-through liquor stores in the South where they will make you a mixed drink while you are driving. They get around open container laws by leaving the wrapper on the very end of the straw. I'm not kidding. Good times, good times. Luke, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What do you got?
Hey, if you add that song to your profile, it'll play flawlessly. Like, off your Rick Emerson Show profile.
Oh, really? Like, so if I were to add the Hot for Sarah, I can't add a song called Hot for Sarah to my profile, by the way, because that would just be weird.
Oh, come on, that's funny.
Yeah, I suppose. But you're saying that it'll.
I'll put it on the Rick Emerson Show MySpace.
Wait, here we go. Thank you, sir.
Hey, right up.
Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. We're coming up on 220. Some like is coming your way, 306. Here's the Young Immortals. It's Hot for Sarah. No. Well, whatever. This is catchy. It's kind of a Neil Diamond sort of a thing.
Shake your hair.
Ooh.
Hell.
Get me a pot pie.
Stay in the kitchen. You can do no wrong. You can do no wrong.
This.
Yeah, me too.
How much of your liking of it is based on the fact that it's called Hot for Sarah?
It's really catchy. It gets stuck in your head.
What percentage do you think of your like of this song is about, like if it was like Hot for
Well, I know it's Deborah. Not about, if it was about me, I would be really excited about it, but Sarah, some other Sarah.
Get out of town. Sounds like a Foley procedure. Let me hear it slip between your teeth?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me hear the sound. Let me hear it slip between your teeth.
You can't do no wrong. You can't do no wrong.
Actually playing at the Doug's Fur.
I like this song a lot.
But it's playing on the 24th.
Well, I'm not going to leave the house to go see them. I guess that. Oh, a little breakdown.
Oh, boy.
Good guitar tone. Kind of a romantics thing. That's what I'm thinking of, maybe.
A little maraca.
Building it back up.
Or is that a tambourine?
I won't let you get away. No one does me like you do.
You love this guy. You are in love with this guy right now. Admit it. You don't know him. You've never met him. You know the song's not about you. That part right there sealed your love for whoever this is. I know it. I know you. I know how you work at this point in your life, little Missy. That, you are instantly in love with that guy because of that part. Deny it. Tell me it's wrong.
I went looking for trouble. And that's where
oh, they gotta go back to the chorus here. Oh.
They will. I think.
All right, I was gonna say, they almost blew
they
it.
They almost blew it.
Okay. Well, those guys are pretty much flawless.
It was peppy.
That come
those
on.
Those are guys that are getting laid. What?
Never mind. I'll
I can see that quote in the trade papers.
I'll let you take that up.
We get
that would totally be like an R&R magazine going for ads this week at Top 40 and Active Rock. And then below that, Sarah Dillon, like music director.
These are guys who are getting laid. Straight to the top after a comment like that.
Seriously. Well, really, they'd rather have that than airplay anyway. You know what I'm... I mean, come on. You know what I'm talking about. That's a great song.
I like
that
it.
Really
I was listening to the other ones, too.
Are the other ones good?
Mm-hmm.
It's a toe tapper.
The... Tim Riley says it's a toe tapper. I'm not going to seek out. I'm not going to add them. I'll let them come to me on MySpace.
Oh, God.
Rick Emerson doesn't seek them out. Rick Emerson lets them...
I'm sure he was a number 10 on that one this week.
do you like cocaine? Now, I have a record I would like you to add. A paper ad.
I've got a little number in a miniskirt at the next convention I'd like you to meet.
All right, should we break?
Yeah, let me just, we'll break. Oh, damn it. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. I was trying to go out with the song again, but it doesn't
and
want
then
to
what'll happen?
I honestly have no friggin' idea. I don't even know. I got nothing. We got to do the we don't have to. We should do the suburban perspective. And what else? The other crap. Other things. Science and technology and entertainment and news. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this. Rick Emerson Show, it's 5. I was trying to time that. It didn't really work. It was having like a little delay thing going on there. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
If we could just... Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack!
In the meantime, Scotty, Benjamin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Benjamin.
Hey, I got the Summoning Scotty theme song. Thank you very much.
Yes, no, well, that was for Scotty. You were just caught in the crossfire.
Oh, well, that's just fine. Let me swallow this mouthful of Crunchwrap Supreme here, sorry. The Young Immortals, if I recall correctly, they won the Battle of the Bands at the Crystal Ballroom the night I went to see Storm Large.
Is that... see, now, somebody... I didn't go to that Storm in the Ball show, because I'm lame, but many people have said that they won. There was a Battle of the Bands thing the night, and that they won. And were they good live?
Yeah, they were. So if you get the opportunity to go see him at the Doug Fir, I say take it. I give him a big horns up, sorry.
Fantastic. They did this song, Hot for Sarah, which I really like. I'd like to hear the rest of it. So, cool. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's Benjamin. Benjamin, who is Crumbelievable? Is that what it is? He's going to do Crumbelicious, and that just sounds creepy. Because he had the Crunchwrap Supreme, and that reminded me of that whole Crumbelievable thing. No one knows what I'm talking about. No one at all. Hi, Scotty. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Hey, you said you had David Arquette news. When's he going to be on?
Well, first of all, nice stack of cards you have sitting there.
Thank you, sir. Have you ever used a card?
Yeah, absolutely.
When?
All through the 80s, basically.
When were you in radio in the 80s?
I've told you time and time again.
No.
I wasn't on the air, but I was actually, you know...
You just did the quote marks again when you said on the air.
Well, I'm always...
This song just keeps... This is like James Brown is dead.
I use my hands a lot when I talk, but... There was like a cable access show I did a radio show on. We had carts there. We had carts in high school, in the radio station at high school. Carts back in the 80s when I did the radio program for a short period of time there. And then I came back.
Can you build a cart?
No.
Can you splice with a razor blade and tape?
On a reel-to-reel only.
Really? That's impressive, though. You can do that. Okay, cool. All right, so David Arquette, when is that happening?
Well, the thing about David Arquette was I got an email this morning that said... Hey, guys, this is from a gal by the name of Kate out of L.A.
Yes.
Okay, from CBS out of L.A. Hey, guys, y'all responded that your stations would be interested in the interview. Please have someone at your station contact David's publicist.
See, yeah, cause
down
thing,
below.
This is just like
is
the...
Is just fishing?
Contact his publicist down below.
Well, the information is down below, right?
If you want him on your show, I'm afraid you're going to have to contact his publicist down below. If you understand what I am saying.
You know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, so, anywho, so they had access, they sent out this mass email, not just us, it was everybody. Like the Dane Cook thing, when that employee of the month was tanking, and suddenly it was like, who wants to talk to Dane Cook? And then we were like, me, Rick Emerson in the back, yes. And but then they said no, and they yanked it away. They asked us if we could, that dirt show on FX must be tanking if they're offering this to us and other people. So they asked if we would like to talk to David Arquette, and I passed it on to you.
Right.
And so they said, please contact the publicist. Okay, so what's the
deal? Correct. So the publicist's name is Cindy, and I left a voicemail, and I wrote this email to her this morning. Cindy, please contact me so we can see if David is available to interview at certain times for our show.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so not but 10 minutes later, I get this message from a BlackBerry. He is not available at this time. Should that change, we will let you know. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. I never...
Because he just went on Stern and got all that press, so he probably doesn't need to...
Whatever.
Well, hold on. When you say at this... When she says at this time...
Right.
Hold on. But were you asking for a specific time? In other words, were you saying we need him on at 1 p.m.? In other words, is she saying he's not on at a specific time of day, or he's not on... He's not available for interviews right now?
So I write her back and I say, I'm confused. I was sent your information to book this... We have not mentioned a time for an interview yet, and you're now stating he's unavailable at
this
time.
Oh, you're taking a confrontational tone here. This is why she's going to tell you to pound sand.
I said this, not sure what's... Well, maybe it's the way I'm talking. Maybe if you read this, it doesn't...
I think it's the way that you use the English language.
Right.
It sounds... You sound a little confrontational in that email, right? And now you're telling me he's not available!
Well...
Are you, Cindy? Where do you come from?
She's asking for it.
I want your head!
I am confused. I was sent your information to book this. We have not mentioned a time for an interview yet, and you are now stating he's unavailable. Not sure what is going on. Please let me know. Thanks. I think that's good.
Yeah. See how cheery she was?
Sounds like you're calling her out as being...
Well, she is. That's what she did, though. I mean,
and
she kind of dangled
she
it.
Is, and yeah, she deserves
you can't,
it.
You can't...
Sorry.
You can't say she deserves it.
I am his publicist. I've been receiving many emails about his doing radio. I'm not sure who was giving the station's incorrect information. Sorry.
Well, I guess, there you go. So I guess that's not going to be happening.
See, maybe I'm just this bad luck charm or something, because anytime I get handed somebody to contact, they suddenly can't do anything.
The interview doesn't happen. All right. Hey, so, let's find out who this is, and then we'll talk about the suburban perspective. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Hey, Rick. It's Jim. Scotty, Sarah, hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello. Rick, the reason I'm calling is I've been hearing some rumblings about an announcement that was made.
Say hello to Tim, please.
Tim, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Good deal. Love your show, you guys, all of you.
Thank you.
An announcement about Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen, David Lee Roth, and Michael Van Halen. No, Alex Van Halen.
Alex Van Halen.
Have you heard? Is there a tour or anything like that?
Here's what I know. And when I say here's what I know, here's what I read on some guy's website. Is that they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There was a press release put out saying, hey, freaking A, Van Halen is happy, blah, blah, blah. And the interesting is, it was a press release, and it was signed Eddie Van Halen, Alex Van Halen, David Lee Roth. Now, Michael Anthony apparently is out of the band, and blah, 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 blah. But it was people read a lot into the fact that there was a press release put out, and the press release was supposedly from Van Halen, and then it was signed with those three names of Eddie, Alex, and David Lee Roth. And so people are then sort of operating under the assumption that means there will now be a reunion tour. I'm past the point of caring about it, but that's kind of what people are saying.
Yeah, I totally understand that, too. After all, it was 22 years
they
ago.
They missed their chance. I mean, they got together with David Lee Roth in 1996 and did reunion tracks on that Best Of.
Yeah.
They did Me Wise Magic and Can't Get That Stuff No More for the Van Halen Best Of Volume 1. That was the time to reunite. They missed it. It's over. I no longer care, so...
Yeah, I saw the Van Halen tour a couple of years ago, and they swung through Portland, and I got a chance to sneak backstage, and I got a chance to talk to Eddie for just a flash.
Was this before or after he had his tongue removed?
This was after. This was after his cancer, but he was bombed. He was definitely in his cups that night.
Yeah, he's back on the sauce. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny that he would have his son playing bass in the band.
His son, who by Eddie's own admission has been playing bass for 6 months. Apparently, if you'd play bass for 6 months, you now get to work in Van Halen. Apparently, that's where the bar is set right now.
Yeah.
And his son's a fat little bastard,
too. Love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. You spread the word.
Will do.
All right, there you go. And so forth. Okay. Scotty J, we had requests for this. It's time for another exciting installment of The Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Interesting.
What do you mean by
that? What might the topic be today?
Well, we have some questions.
I don't.
First of all, if you would like to ask a question of Scotty J here during The Suburban Perspective, the phone number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Now, we have today's subject, or we have a follow-up question. Scotty, which would you like first?
I'll do the follow-up first.
Okay, we have
for, 30 points.
Rick, it occurred to me the other day after listening to Scotty J. explain his, quote, thoughts, end quote, on the origin of the species. Here's what I got out of it. One, Adam and Eve were created by divine will. They were like cavemen. Their children populated the earth through the process of incest. Two, the idea was postulated that Cain and Abel actually bred with some sort of monkey-like creature, producing the actual cavemen from which we evolved. Scotty J. seemed to accept this explanation in lieu of having to accept the possibility of incest. So here's what I would like to know. The human species was created by divine will, and the planet was populated by one or all of the following processes: incest, bestiality, or incestuous bestiality. Please ask Scotty J. which one of these he most strongly believes is the case. Thank you. That's Richard. Scotty?
Well, first of all, I wasn't there to witness all this, so I don't really know exactly what happened.
It's called faith, Scotty.
But I can tell you this. Somewhere along the line, Mailman Chris's great-great-great-great-great-great ancestors...
Why are you picking
dropped,
him?
Because they dropped the ball. What? He's a stenographer, right? Right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The historians... The guys that were the stenographers of that time.
Oh, the
right?
History is wrong.
His great, 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 great grand
historians.
Ancestors.
Historians.
Yes. They were the stenographers of that time, and somehow one of them dropped a tablet, right?
Like of acid?
No. They were chiseling things on tablets, and one of the tablets dropped, and that's why we're having a problem figuring out.
Is this an analogy or your actual theory?
This could be my theory on why I don't know how exactly we evolved, because the tablet was dropped by Mailman Chris's great-great ancestors.
Why do you do that self-satisfied smile after all of these answers, as though we're supposed to go, it's all so clear now?
What tablet?
The tablet, right? One of them had... There were supposed to be 10 commandments.
So you don't really know.
They were stenographers. They had a whole library of these chiseled rocks.
We're just checking. All right. So should we just put that on the pile of that there really is no answer?
Yeah, because I wasn't there. Bottom line.
So do you... do you not believe that any of those things happened?
I believe that there are many possibilities, but I can't answer them because I wasn't there.
Okay.
Right?
All right. So do you believe the Bible to be the literal truth of God?
That's the problem. That's the problem with me in general is, and other people. We pick and choose what we want to believe.
So
right?
you do not believe that the Bible, then, is the literal word of God?
No.
Okay.
Literal? No. But there are parts in there that I, believe. So I'm not saying the whole book is literally, because who knows whose book is right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
How much of the Bible would you say is true? What percent?
I have no way of answering that question, Rick.
Okay. So today we ask you about the Iraq War and the troop buildup, because we were talking about George Bush and the Iraq surge that's going to be taking place, 21,000 troops, and you were all full of comments on the screen, and we've had many people wondering what the suburban perspective is on the Iraq War and the upcoming surge. Scotty J.
I'm not really sure if we should go there, because I don't want the bank of liblights to start blanking out of control.
The what?
The bank of liblights.
Is that one word? And what word is that, and what does it mean?
I don't know.
Is that like
there's
a
one guy
mecha,
out
like
there.
A high mecha
there's,
honey
there's
hole?
One guy out there that knows what I mean when I say liblight. Blinking.
Okay. So, what do you feel about the Iraq War and the upcoming surge, Scotty J?
Well, what I feel about the surge is the Democrats are right in one sense, that 20,000 is not enough and we should be putting in, 100,000. And here's my analogy on this before the phones start lighting up.
Yes.
You have your football team, right? And then you have the Packers over here. And nobody likes the Packers, right?
Now, wait. It,
the Packers
are we
will
the
be,
Packers or are
no,
we
no,
the
no,
other
no,
team?
No, no, no. We're the other team. We're the Seahawks. All right?
Okay.
And let's just start taking some of
and
our...
Who are the Packers?
The Packers are the insurgents and the terrorists and, the
where?
In Iraq.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the deal. You start taking away some of our team players, right? Because A, they're retiring or
dead
or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then you only replace it with like quote 20,000. Okay. So in other words, if you have this football team, you're only giving them 2-3 more guys. All right. So here's the problem, and the Democrats are right. 20,000 is not enough. Here's what's happening on the Packers side.
When you say the Democrats are right, what Democrats are you referring to?
The ones that we hear in the media. for the last 2 days.
I like you say media with palpable disdain. The microphone of a radio station.
I have lots of disdain.
Which
for the
Democrats?
Media, because every channel I turn to is like, oh, Bush this and Bush that, and let's just get out of there. Nobody has a solution, but they certainly say, oh, he's doing everything wrong.
Which Democrats are saying we need more troops?
The general population, like 70-80%, or these are the numbers you keep hearing, that the whole nation is Democratic now, as far as, you know, Democrats.
And they want more troops in
No, that they don't want to go to war, they don't want to be in this war any longer, they're tired of spending all the money, get our people out of there, on and on.
And so the Democrats want more troops, you say, and
no,
you agree
the Democrats
with
are saying, well, first of all, they're saying 20,000 is not enough, and that's what I agree
Who's,
with.
Who's, okay. All right, so
they keep saying, why are we sending 20,000? Okay, they're saying, why are we sending 20,000 troops over there? It's not enough. You're exactly right. It isn't enough. We need to send 100,000 over there. Because the Packers side, let's go back to the Packers side, they're crawling out of off the mountain and out of the holes like fire ants. We shoot three of them, 20 more come out of the hole. And that's the problem. We don't have enough of our guys to eliminate that problem over there.
Who are we fighting in Iraq?
And we're not necessarily fighting the Iraqis, in my opinion. I think, just like you said this morning, that you don't even know if there's any Iraqis left to fight, right? Here's who we're fighting. We're fighting all the Al-Qaeda people and terrorists that are coming into the country. That's why we need to build a Disneyland there and get them all out of there. Or go door to door and start saying, you know, are you a terrorist? Are you a terrorist? And just clean it up. So we need to finish the job, number one.
So we're in Iraq fighting Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, basically. That is correct. You got that right.
Why would the people in Al-Qaeda be going to Iraq if that's where all the U.S. troops are?
Because now that the leader is gone, this is a golden opportunity for them to take over and take over the oil or whatever their mission is. And then, you know, eventually, maybe they'll, you know, try to take over other countries that are around there.
Like what other countries that are around there?
Like Syria, Iran.
Where is Syria in relation to Iraq?
Well, if I look at a map this way, and this is north.
Did you study
straight
this morning?
Up.
Did you anticipate
No. I know some
morning?
Of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I did stay up late last night shaking my head back and forth because every channel I turn to, there's no view like mine. That's the funny part. And now you probably got a whole bunch of phone calls that disagree. There's probably one or two people out there that agree with me.
What
the job needs to be finished. We need more people over there. And the Democrats to say, oh, we're not going to give you any more money is like saying we're not going to give you any more guys on your team. We're going to cripple you, so we can say, ha, you failed.
What is your estimation, Scotty Day, of George W. Bush and the leadership he has shown?
I mean, Rick, in these times with the 9/11, and here we go with that, right? We hear that every day.
The 9/11.
Yeah, it'd be very difficult to be the president under the circumstances of which he's had to endure.
It's a hard job.
The second that he came on board, boom, you know, we get attacked. And secondly, I firmly believe he's finishing a job that the prior president didn't finish. Okay.
What job is that?
We were supposed to go in there and do weapons inspections, and Saddam was in the background, oh, you silly Americans, don't you dare come into my country. Okay. And so Clinton, of course, in my opinion, is like, okay, well, we won't come into your country. Right? And he's out, and then Bush comes in, then we get attacked, and he goes back over there.
Really, if I close my eyes, it's like I'm there.
Okay. So there's my point.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. This is the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Hello.
Yes, I just had a comment.
Yes.
This segment is a lot like Joe Dirt with what Dennis Miller did with Joe Dirt. Just a comment.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
Hello, this is the Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective.
Hi, diddly ho there, neighbor.
Hello there.
Does anybody else here wonder if Scotty J's inner monologue sounds like a Ned Flanders with Down syndrome or something?
That's not a nice thing to say.
I'm sorry, but I mean, I want to refer to the guy as Short Bus.
All right. See, this is now.
What's your solution?
No constructive.
What's your solution?
No constructive criticism happening here.
I'm sorry. I just.
Let's hear your solution.
I don't know how to fix falling on your head multiple times.
All right, there you go. Thank you, sir. Rick Emerson Show. This is the Suburban Perspective. Hello there.
Hey, how you doing? I'm not really here to figure out more about Scotty J's history of Iraq. I do have a different question for him, though.
Yes, go ahead.
I want to know if what Scotty J's opinion on free will is, or if he thinks that our lives are laid out in some divine blueprint.
Ah, that's a good question. Do you believe, sir, Scotty, that we have free agency? In other words, that we are free to choose our own behavior and destiny, or do you believe that our activities are predestined by God?
Free will.
There you go, sir.
All right, thank you.
Free will, thank you. All right, Rick Emerson Show. This is the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Hey, did Scotty just say that we didn't do weapons inspections in Iraq and then they were the ones that flew the planes into the building?
I believe he said that we are there fighting Al-Qaeda, yes.
Oh, boy.
No, wait a minute. You've got that all confused.
Do you believe that Iraq was...
Did you just say that we didn't do weapons inspections under Clinton and then what do you know? We got attacked.
Scotty.
Hey, you got a good point. You got a good point there, I must admit.
Which is what?
Is tying in Iraq with all this.
But what do you mean he has a good point?
Because that was a mistake on my part, because they didn't necessarily tie in until we realized that Iraq was kind of a training ground for some of these people.
There you go, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Scotty J, thank
yes,
you,
sir.
My friend. It's Scotty J. The Suburban Perspective.
It's been a pleasure.
We're back Thank after you. This with Tim Riley. Like us at 3. You stay right there. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11, Stephanie Miller tomorrow 7 to 11, and then we're back at 11 tomorrow. That's a lot of 7s and 11. It's all very confusing. Go to the website. It's all listed there. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a final visit to today's Ministry of Truth. Bam! Here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
My grandmas handcuffed themselves to the Edith Green Wendell Wyatt Federal Building in Portland this morning.
Really?
To protest President Bush's escalation of troops in Iraq. That's the closest we could get to the warehouse, said one. But it didn't change the president's plans at all. They even brought their own handcuffs. Well, look to the sky tonight and tomorrow night for the brightest comet in 30 years. And clear skies are forecast. This is the comet McNaught. It'll be visible over the naked eye. Low in the west and southwest sky after sunset, which is a few minutes before 5 o'clock. So bring binoculars. It'll last for about an hour. The comet will disappear after Friday as it goes around the sun. Well, Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz have finally confirmed the rumors of their breakup. Brace yourselves. The couple issued a statement moments ago. It says, quote, "It has always been our preference not to comment on the status of our relationship, but out of respect for the time we spent together, we feel we're compelled to do so now. In light of recent speculation and the number of inaccurate stories reported by the media, we have in fact ended our romantic relationship and have done so mutually and as friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we continue to love and respect one another."
I'm sure we'll see them hanging out all the time.
That.
Yeah, they'll be hanging out as friends constantly. You won't be able to turn on the television without seeing Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz hanging out as friends. Good God Almighty! All right, there you go. Well, coming up tomorrow on the program, what the hell do we have coming up tomorrow on the program?
Hours of merriment.
Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com.
Part three of Rick Emerson's Nervous Breakdown.
Part three of Rick Emerson's Ongoing Nervous Breakdown. And Tony Starlight will be here.
We'll talk about...
And we'll talk about Sarah going to L.A.
L.A.?
I don't even know. I don't even want to know what kind of condition you're going to be in on Monday. I mean, 3 days in Los Angeles with your hot friend Lisa and Storm and some rock star supernova people, and you're going to be at the Chateau Marmont for part of that, and you're not going to have
and
to buy yourself.
And we're driving around in some like 2007 like fancy Chrysler Dodge car thing.
Yeah, Monday is going to
make sure you leave the top down.
Monday is going to be the worst day of your life. You will never have a day as bad.
Especially since
Monday
Lisa and I both have a fear of flying. Mine not so much anymore, but. Oh, no!
Oh, by the way, you got to turn my computer up for the end of show cut. And also because Tim just left.
Goodbye,
Tim. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, the hardest. Oh, wait. Wait, I've got the, let me find this cart. Hold on. Thank you, Tim Riley. It sounds like rain on a cement roof. DJ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey.
What's
yeah,
up?
I called the one to back up Scotty. You know, there are more normal people like me and him out here than there are. It's like the loud ones, you know, get all the press. And there is a thing about the left-wing media. That's for real. There's a definite slant to it.
Go ahead. I'm listening to you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm listening. Please continue.
I'm on a cell phone delay. And I apologize. Scotty's not very good. I gotta say, he's not very good at getting the point across. It doesn't come across real coherently, and I'm not either.
I understood if we started doing the voices. That made it a little more clear for me.
Yeah, really. In fact, maybe if he had puppets next time, it might be even more clear.
Maybe we can type it up for him.
Are you calling to agree with the incest thing or the bestiality thing? Press 1 if you're calling to agree with Scotty about incest. Press 2 if it's about bestiality.
Oh, no. Well, that's...
Is it about broken tablets?
People have been arguing about that for hundreds of years, and you're going to Scotty wanting an immediate answer. That ain't going to happen.
I'm not asking for the definitive truth, because we don't know that. I'm asking what he believes.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I believe the Bible will be literal, okay? That when Adam and Eve were created, there was a fall from grace, yada, yada, and sin come in and brought disease to mankind.
Before
the disease factor come in, I don't think incest was the problem that it is now.
So you think that there was an upside to incest before before no, disease?
Not an upside. I don't know. I don't have another explanation for it. I'm with him. I wasn't there. You gotta, yeah. Go the, okay, I'll take your side of it, the evolution side, uh-huh. I assume.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
You want me to believe that two microbes evolved and got together? Have you ever...
Yes.
On the odds of that, and randomly created a human being, and then it also randomly created another human being that happened to be created within proximity of each other,
right,
to get together to start the race, to breed.
I'm listening.
Okay, do you know what the astronomical odds of that are? It not only has to happen by random chance once, it has to happen twice, a male and a female, and they have to find each other on the earth.
Right.
So, and it has to happen within each other's lifetime.
So you believe the Gospels to be the literal truth?
Yes.
Now, you realize that the Gospels don't even agree with each other. They all tell different versions. They all get dates differently. They all have the facts different.
No, I don't believe that's true. You have to show me that.
No, it is true.
I took a course in college called Bible is Literature, and they took it apart and realized that some things were written years
before
other things.
Matthew says that Jesus was born while Herod was alive. Luke says that Jesus was born after Herod was dead.
I don't believe that. You know what? I will check.
What do I get if I'm right? Seriously. What do I get if I'm right?
What do you want?
I want you to admit that the Gospels don't agree with themselves, and therefore the Bible can't be taken literally.
Okay.
How about we make that bet right now?
Okay, let's keep it down to something we can handle here.
I can handle that perfectly.
Whether or not Herod was alive when Jesus was born. That question?
No. The question is.
Well, that's one of the conflicting things. Have him see whether or not he thinks. Okay, yeah. Find out whether or not Herod.
The question is whether the four Gospels tell the same story the same way.
Well, they're from four different people. Four people will watch an accident on a street corner and not tell the same story.
They'd all be able to agree on what year the accident happened, presumably.
And that there was a car involved.
And that there was a car.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. Give me. We could make this. You want to discuss Trinity? Well, people been discussing Trinity for. No, it ain't gonna happen. Get it down to one item like that, and I'll do some reading, and you do some reading. Or you don't have to. You've already made up your mind.
I'm sorry. It's too bad.
That was weird.
That's unfortunate. You know, the Lord does work in mysterious ways.
Phones must be out again.
You know, it's the damnedest thing. I'm praying all day that they work. Hello, Mailman Chris. What's up, sir?
No, not much. I'm just kind of hanging out under the bus over here where Scotty J threw me.
Yeah, well done. Yeah,
I don't understand the broken tablet.
No, I like how he went right to your people. He said, Mailman Chris's people. So, yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, well, I think Scotty J's people dropped him on his head.
Yeah, I know. Where are we at today, sir?
Well, you were at one. You didn't get the top five. And you got the Cart Machine, Icy White Death, Lisa God, the Hot for Sarah song, George Bush, Suburban Perspective. No top five, no big announcement.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't even know this big announcement.
Oh, we'll have to do it tomorrow. Looks like we'll have to do it. We don't have any time. So.
Well, so I put you at three, so you got to get everything tomorrow to be an even.
All right. Well, so we're at three, so I got to get everything tomorrow. All right. Thank you.
Tomorrow.
There you go. All right. I have no time to do anything else. All right. So we want to thank Lisa Goddard. We want to thank Ed McCarthy, Rick Emerson, Joe Producer, and Eric Olivia, and talented Sarah Excellent for AM 970 Solid State Radio, the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J is our PA, manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. Tomorrow, Scott Dowley from FilmFeverRadio.com and Tony Starlight. Like us next, as always. Nolan Bastard's Granny Down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow, kids. Bye.